that flows from your mountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, once again, we've come to feed from that great supply, Lord. We've come looking to Thee, the author and finisher of all revelation, of all faith, Lord, of all that we have, all that we know, all that we'll ever know. Lord, it's by Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, may You just take every heart this morning, Lord. Speak to us. Lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, protect our lips, Lord, from saying anything that would be contrary, Lord, to this great revelation. Lord, just give us grace and liberty, Lord. Lord, as we look to Thee to speak to our hearts, Lord, may You bless those that are sick, afflicted this morning, Lord, those that are weak in their bodies. Lord, You know each one. You know every trial and every trouble. Lord, we commit them to You. And we thank You and praise You. For we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And we greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here, as always. And I was thinking, I don't know if Brother Michael mentioned that it is Brother Goomba and Sister Emily's 10-year anniversary. And so, have I got that number right? Mm-hmm. 10 years? And so we congratulate them. We thank the Lord. And so they took a little time off to be together. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we look on those things and we think 10 years already. It's been 10 years. And so we realize we're getting old fast. And I know where I was at when he told me. And I was in Kenya at that time. And God knows all things and has a reason in all things. And so we want to congratulate them today. Amen. So now, this morning, as we're coming into the furtherance a little more on this lesson now, we've been talking about the Godhead. And when I started, I told you last week that I'd listened to Brother Joshua Kioko on the capstone preaching. I think it was on Saturday, maybe a week ago. And so it struck me and put something on my heart. I just finished on the Keystone and I thought, I'll take a couple services on the Godhead. And so I was just going to hit a couple of, I know, controversial parts. And one was, God is not one like your finger. Brother Branham said, that's a oneness doctrine. And he said, those people are just as wrong as the Trinitarians. And I can remember many years ago when I first seen that, I realized that I was oneness. I was in the message. And when I came in the message, my wife was still in the Baptist church. And so naturally, she believed a Trinitarian doctrine. And so that was the first thing that I seen, that there was one God and that His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the main revelation to me. That was everything. And so I felt like I understood the Godhead, and I felt like I could challenge anybody. I could talk to anybody about it. And so, but as I went along in the message, it was many years before I began to realize some of the things Brother Branham said about it was contrary to how I was seeing it. And although I was saying one God, and that's a very correct statement, Brother Branham said, but He's not one like your finger. And so that tells us there's something there. There's some revelation there that we need to know in order to understand what He's talking about. Because when you say that to somebody, automatically you believe in two gods. And so Brother Branham never believed in two gods. He always believed in one God. He always taught one God. And so, but he said many times, God is not one like your finger. And he said, if He was one like your finger, then He would be His own Father. And He couldn't be His own Father. Because the Bible said that God is His Father. And then the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is His Father. And so Brother Branham said, then, if they're not the same person, then then he has two fathers, and now he's illegitimate. And so there's revelation lies within that. And so Wednesday night, we read a lot of quotes, and we read the early quotes. We ended in 1965, but we read a lot of quotes where he's talking about the beginning of the creation and the Spirit of God. When God dwelt alone, before he was God, before there was any air, before there was any stars, before there was anything, he said the Logos came out of God. And he said that Logos was the Son of God. Now, this was billions and billions and billions of years before Christ was born, before there was flesh. This was maybe billions of years before Adam came, before the first man came. So he identified this Logos as the Son of God. And so, and he called it many things. And thus, we read a lot of that on Wednesday night. But at the end of the service, I really felt like that I had failed because I realized I didn't get it across. I realized I just read it and I didn't talk much about it. And I think there was a lot of questions there. And I think that when I started this, I just thought I was going to do a couple of messages. And now I know I'm going to spend some time on this. And because I realized when I started it, I said, it's for the children. And that I know that you all know it. And you've made me aware that you don't fully know it. I know that everyone knows there's one God. And I realize myself, I don't understand all of it. And that's just an honest confession. I have some questions. And I think I know where the disconnect is on some of this thing. And I think it is concerning the person of Jesus Christ. And I think we all know that God is a spirit, that the Father is the eternal spirit. And that the man Jesus was a creation of God. God created the seed, he created the egg, he put it together, he put it in a woman, and that began to grow. And so that was a spoken word. So he was a spoken word seed of God. So that flesh man was a creation of God. And I think we all have that, understand that clearly. So that part, and that was the Son of God because it was the creation of God. And so Brother Branham talked on the same terms. When he talked about the Logos, the Son of God coming out of God in the beginning. And so, and I think that's where it is the hard place, and that's where I'm having I'm still looking for a little bit of clarity on that. I'm looking for a few more quotes. I have some quotes on it. I have some quotes on the person, and I think where it's going to lie is going to be in the theophany, is understanding the theophany, because Brother Branham made it clear in Who Is This Melchizedek? He said that we came different. He said, Adam came different. I came different than Jesus Christ. That he was theophany before he became in flesh. Amen. So we need to know where that was. Where was that? And so when was that theophany? When did it come forth? When did that theophany express itself? And I think that's going to help us in this lesson, help us to understand what he's saying. And so another thing, and what I want to work on today is this word Logos. And it's been, we've said it many times, that the Logos, Brother Branham said many times, that it was the Logos that came out of God. And he called it many things. And we identified many of those things on Wednesday in those quotes. You know, he said it was the Word. He said it was the Son of God. He said it was the pillar of fire. He said it was that halo. And so there's many things that he talked about identifying that Logos. But I think that we put it back there billions of years ago at the beginning, and we don't put it here. And so this morning, that's why I'm taking the title this morning, the Logos in every age. Because that's the same Logos. It's the same Logos that's here today that was there before the foundation of the world. That was there before he created the sky, before there was any air, before there was any molecules, before there was anything. That Logos is the same Logos that's here right now. And so I think one thing that's going to help us is the is this terminology, this word becoming more familiar to us. And the only way for that to happen is to talk about it. Is as we talk about things, then God makes it more real to us and he reveals those things to us. And so saying all of that, as I start here, this first quote is maybe going to make it worse as far as where you're seeing it. But I'm starting at the very end. I'm not going back. All that we read on Wednesday was at the beginning. I'm going to go what Brother Branham said at the end. And it might shake you a little bit, might stir you a little bit. But then I want you, then I'm going to go back and we're going to get the beginning and then we're going to bring it up through the middle and try to get that. So this is going to be in the message, questions and answers. This is 1964. So this is after the seals. He's reading the scripture there. He said, I saw the new heavens and the new earth, for the first heavens and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. See, remember, in this bride, now, dot, 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 behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, we know what that is. We know what the tabernacle of God is. And so, and God shall dwell with them upon this pyramid-shaped city, 1,500 square miles. And in the top of the city, there will be a light. Okay, here's the city. Here's the tabernacle of God. And there's a light that's going to light this city. And then he begins to sing the song. And I'm not sure why I'm not scrolling here. Okay. See, sorry. On top of Mount, this 237, on top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb. And now, and the city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. So I want to just represent that right here, that this is the Lamb. Let's say, you don't look like a lamb, he looks like a man. But this is Jesus Christ. Is that right? The Son? The Son of God is the Lamb, right? Okay. So that's what he's talking about. So he's saying, on top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb, and the city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father. Okay, so now he's saying, above the Lamb is going to be the Father. And we're going to put that right there. Which is the Logos. Is that right? So above the Lamb is going to be the Father, which is the Logos. Now that's sounding a lot like two, isn't it? It's sounding a lot like two. And we know the scripture says in Genesis 1, let us create man in our image. And we'll get there after a while. But it's going to take a little bit of time because I want to look at this really close. And I was thinking the other day, just to put this in perspective here a little bit, I was listening to a brother, I think it was from South Africa, he was preaching, and he was on a different subject, but his father was a message believer, maybe a preacher, I'm not sure. Anyways, he was teaching him, raising him up. And so when he was still in school, he was talking to his father. His father was explaining to him the Godhead. And he put it down there, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so he was explaining to his son. He said, I want to teach you Bible mathematics, spiritual mathematics. And he said, you see, if you count these now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he said, how many do you get? And the son said, three. And he said, no. He said, that's the natural. He said, this is spiritual mathematics. He said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, those add up to one. They don't add up to three. It adds up to one. And so he made a joke. He said, I knew right then I was going to have a hard time in school. My dad was teaching me math. But he's talking about the natural versus the spiritual. And so the spiritual math, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost comes up to one. It don't come up to two and it don't come up to three. It comes up to one. And so that throws the people off when you're reading these things. And it's here to throw people off. That's what it's there for. It's there to throw people off. When he said in Genesis 1, let us, and Brother Branham said, we know he's talking to another being. That's what the prophet said about that. He's talking to another being, another person. And so there's something there. And so this is why Brother Branham said that the Godhead is a revelation. It is strictly a revelation. You won't understand it unless God reveals it. And so he said there's a lot of other things. They're just plainly written in there. And people still miss it. Many times people still miss things, like he said about baptism. He said baptism is plainly written in the scripture. He said, you don't have to guess about it. If they go this way, they go that way, whatever they want to do, Matthew 28:19, verse 238, or something else, however, whatever they have in their mind. But he said, it's plainly in the Bible. But he said, the Godhead will take a revelation from God for you to get this. And this is why I could say I was many, many years in the message before I understood what he was saying, that he's not one like your finger. So now, above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light. See, the eternal light that shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. He'll be on his throne. Now, remember, and I think Brother Goomba might have touched on this recently, it's not like there's a throne there, a big throne there that he's sitting on, and another throne over here that the Father's sitting on. The Father is spirit. He's in spirit form. He's in spirit form. His throne is the universe. His throne is eternity. But the Son is the Lamb, is the one who came and redeemed. He's the one who paid the price. He is the veil that God was hiding in. That's who he was. And so this Logos, we know, Brother Branham said many times, was the pillar of fire. And he said that pillar of fire was the first bodily form of God. And as I told you many times, that helped me. I think it was just a key for me. It really opened it up when I recognized it was the veil. Just as the flesh of Jesus was, that's what the Son of God was that came out of God in the beginning. It was a veil. It was something that God could express himself in. And that's what he was doing. That's what he's doing. And we're gonna get to that. And so I'll try not to get ahead too far ahead of myself. So, and Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. He'll be on his throne. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be how many? They'll just be one, won't they? There's your mathematics right there. He sounds like he's talking about two. He's talking about one. See? And while they're yet speaking, I'll answer. Before they can think, I'm thinking for them. That's right. See? That's right. Okay, we're going down to questions and answers. This is in 1964. It was the evening service. paragraph 238. And then God became material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was his son. And this son gave his life that he might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, working in all, see? And in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, I in you and you in me. Now, this, Brother Branham uses this, he refers to this scripture many times in different things. But when he's talking about this revelation, he uses this scripture. And this is not, we use it a lot of times when we're talking about us recognizing who we are in this day. That's a revelation for us in this day. But this also is talking about the revelation of the Godhead. It's the revelation of knowing who he is. Amen. And what form that he's in this day. And that's, we must know that. Brother Branham said, you can't get nowhere. He said, knowing who God is, he said, that's the first base. He said, that's the first base. He said, you got to get there first. He said, if you don't know who he is, how are you going to know anything else? You've got to know who he is. And so that's what he reveals. He said, in that day, you're going to know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That was the mystery when he was here on the earth. That was the mystery. That's why they said, show us the Father. Lord, you keep talking about this other person. Show him to us. And he says, when you see me, you see him. Amen. Huh? Who is he? The Father. Who is the Father? The eternal Spirit of God. And this is the reason why. And in the beginning, because at the time I was first realizing the seven thunders and the mysteries, Brother Branham identified several things as the thunders, as those mysteries that had not been known from the foundation of the world. They were some of the same things that was being revealed, that was returned back, that was lost from Pentecost to the seventh church age. So some of those things was being returned back, but they had already been known. The seven thunders was the mysteries that had been hid from the foundation of the world. And so I didn't understand maybe 25 years ago, that when he started identifying the thunders, and he said marriage and divorce, and he said serpent seed, which serpent seed he'd been preaching for 30 years, he'd been preaching serpent seed, but he identified in the Church Ages book, and he said, he just showed me something the other day. He said, I didn't know it. And he said, you let them come against me now on the serpent seed. And he said, Leveo placed it in that first church age. So there's something in that first church age on the serpent seed that had never been known before. Now there's a lot in there that he'd been preaching for 30 years. And so that throws people off. But there's something in there that had not been known. And you read it, you'll see it. You just spend some time. And so he said marriage and divorce. I said some other things. And he said the Godhead. And the Godhead was the one for me, because at that time I felt like I was so clear on the Godhead, because there's one God and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all, that's the whole revelation. But it wasn't the whole revelation. So the completeness of that revelation, although Brother Branham was in the seventh church age, he was teaching that. He confirmed those things, that he identified that as part of the revelation of the seven thunder mysteries that was hidden from the foundation of the world. So there's something about this that we've always considered the simplest of revelations. The Godhead was the simplest, the first and the simplest of all of it. Brother Branham's identifying it also now that it wasn't complete until after the seven thunders. And so that's why we thank God that he gives revelation. Let's read it again. And then God became material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was his son. This son gave his life that he might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, working in all. See? That God might become tangible. That's what it was all about from the beginning. Because God was not tangible. He was a spirit. and nobody could see him. Nobody could talk to him. Nobody could do anything. And so he had to become tangible. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to express his attributes. And so he said, in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father and the Father in me and I in you and you in me. You're going to know. You're going to understand this revelation. And this revelation has to do with eternal life. This eternal life that was in him, that he was, the eternal spirit, Elohim, that eternal life was in the Son. And that eternal life in the Son, he gave it to you. He expressed it in you. And so we had this idea that we become a good person, we get baptized with the Holy Ghost, we get baptized in the water, we do these things that we're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden we qualify now, and God's going to give us eternal life, and we're going to start being eternal from now. No. That was not the revelation. The revelation was that you always were in Him. And there's not anything at all you can do in this life, in this flesh, to earn that. That He had you in His mind, or He didn't. And you will come to manifestation. Because of the fall, you came into the world with the nature of the world, with the nature of Satan, and then that nature has to die. And when that nature dies, then the nature of God, which is the soul, which is eternal, comes into you and begins to express itself. And itself is Him, the Father. It's expressing the Father. And so that life now is in you, dwelling, living, expressing God. Amen. And so that's the revelation. So in seed is not ever the shuck, and we read this on Wednesday night. I want to read it again. So He was God, the Logos, the Word that went out of God. What was He? He was God, the Logos, the Word that went out of God. Now, I wrote some of this down, and I'm going to just flip my board over right here. I wanted to put this up here because this is looking like two, and so I wanted you to get that. So now, I wrote down some of these things, and I realized that I didn't get them all. But I wanted to bring it to your attention that how He identifies it. How He identifies it. So when He's talking about He was God, and we read some of that on Wednesday night, that he said His first creation was God. And so we know that Brother Branham talked about the first thing that He did was create the angels, and He became God. Not that he was God, because the very word God means an object of worship. And so there was nothing. There was nothing to worship Him. And so that's important to understand that, because that's how He became God. And that was expression of His attribute, what He wanted to be. He wanted to be God. And so once He did that, then He began to speak. And Brother Branham said the Logos came forth. The Word came forth. And so this, I put this here, came out of the Father, because when what we read on Wednesday night, those quotes, that's what He's talking about. He's talking about in the beginning. One place He's talking about going back 100 million years. Another place He's talking about going back billions and billions and billions of years. And He said there was absolutely nothing. Just the eternal Spirit of God. That's all. Just that. And so then in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He began to speak. And He said that Word, that was the Logos. He said that was the Logos that came out of God. See, He was God, the Logos, the Word that went out of God, when He began to brood upon the earth. And He brought forth marine life. And when the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be, and there went the Logos, see, which was the Word. And the Word, all of this was in the Logos, the whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age. Are you getting that? How much of the word was in this Logos? All of the word. All of the Bible was in this Logos. He was the fullness of the word. Amen. All of it was there. It was in him.
Yes, sir.
And he's just beginning now to express. He's beginning to express himself. And so he said, and as this Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there came marine life and building up and bird life and animal life. And finally, there comes something in the representation or look like the thing that was brooding over it. God in a man in the very image of God. Praise God. And the man fell, like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. And he brought up an Enoch, and he brought up an Elijah, and he brought up a Moses, and he brought up a prophet after prophet, trying to restore that image again. And finally, upon the earth, come the genuine image of God himself again, which was God. The Logos made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And that same Logos has a part. He has got a bride. And that same Logos, this word that cannot be tampered with, is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. Bring it back to it. That's where it started at. He wants to bring it back to it, see? The prophets was carriers to that seed. And the church denominations has been carriers to that seed now. And so what he's saying here, I want to read it. We're going to read it quote by quote. All that's up here is identified. We're going to read. But different quotes will say it. But he's talking about this that came out of the Father was the Logos. And he said that was Christ. He called it the anointing. He called it the halo. He called it the pillar of fire. He called it the Son of God. He said it was a light. And he said it was an eternal light. He called it the Holy Ghost. He called it the Spirit. He called it the anointed. He said it was the first body form of God. Amen. That pillar of fire was the first body form of God. So he says it was the Word. And we just read that it was the full word, the whole word. It was the whole Bible,
Amen.
All of it, all of the word, not part of anything. It was in its completeness.
Amen.
See, it was a spiritual being. It was a supernatural being. He said many times he called it an angel. He said it was the angel of God. He said it was the angel of the Holy Spirit. He said it was the angel of the covenant. So, Brother Ben was talking. We read on Wednesday night when that Logos came out of God, he said it was a halo. It was a pillar of fire. He said it was a light. And he said that light was just moving around, playing like a child.
Amen.
Like a child before the Father.
Yes, sir.
Before the throne of the Father. And said, or the door. He called the door. He said the door. What was it? What's the Father? He's eternity.
Amen.
He's the eternal Spirit. And so now he's spoken, and now this pillar of light appears, and he's become visible. God has become visible.
Yes.
And it's just moving along. And sometimes we think, does this make sense? He's saying this like a child. Just think. Now, God, for billions and billions and billions of years, he just dwelt alone. He just dwelt alone, and there was nothing. There was nothing but just God, the eternal Spirit, Elohim, dwelling alone. There was nothing. There wasn't even air. There wasn't molecules. There wasn't sky. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And now he creates. He creates this pillar of fire.
Yes.
That pillar of fire was just having a jubilee. That's what Brother Branham's saying. He's saying it was playing like a child. Just, it was good. Why? Because God had never expressed himself. He had never done anything. He was waiting for this moment. And now he's become material. He's become a pillar of fire. He's become that light.
Yes,
and he's just moving around, just rejoicing. Like Brother Branham said, like a baby calf or something like that when it's born and it gets up, just right after it's born, it gets up, and finally, after some time, it's just jumping around for no reason at all. You don't ever see the cow doing that. You know, you see them cow, the bull, they're just walking along, you know. They don't have nothing on their mind but eating, sleeping, regurgitating, all of those things. But here is these little calves, and they're just running around. Boy, they got all of that. That's what was happening. God was expressing himself after billions and billions of years. And now he's created a pillar of fire, this Logos, and he's expressing himself in it. And he's just, God's happy. God is happy. This is the beginning. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. And Brother Branham said that this was the Son of God. And he was going to create everything. And said he's sitting there looking out over the eternities, and he's got in his mind what he's going to do. He's got in his mind this creation of these animals and these fishes and the oceans and the earth and the air and the sky and the stars. He's got all this in his mind, and he's just there, and he's just taking it all in. He knows what he's going to do. There's not no new ideas. It's not something that's just coming to him now and he's thinking about it. And he said, maybe I'll do it this way. That. No. He had it all. All the full word was there. The full word was in that Logos. The whole Bible was in there. All the creation, everybody that was ever going to be, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, it was right there. And he knew what it was going to be. And he starts brooding over it. That's, I don't know how to, I'm not good with that word, but if I was comparing it to work, when we have, we have a job, and maybe especially in remodeling, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, you have things that you're not looking forward to. We just finished a house. We took the roof off of it and put a second story on it, added an addition on it. We put a hole through the wall in the basement, went into the crawl space. We spent almost 2 months under the house, in the dirt. We cut a hole through the block. Then we started with the pick, digging that dirt out into a wheelbarrow, and wheelbarrowed it out of the basement, upstairs, outside. We couldn't get no tractor in there, none of that. And so when we started that job, we were just looking at it. We were brooding over it. We call it psyching yourself today. We're just getting over it, and we're looking at it, you're studying it, you're thinking, the only thing was he had the whole plan. He had the whole plan already in there, already ready. And he's beginning to express it. And he's expressing it with love and compassion. Because this is for me, I'm the builder, and so for me, I'm getting dirty, whatever. But the architect, he and the engineer, mainly the architect, he's the one who drew it all up. And so this guy comes, he hoovers over you every day. Not every day, but he comes out, as often as he can. And he's looking at everything, and he's making sure it's just the way he had it in his mind. He's checking to see if you did this and you did that. And he'll ask you questions and everything. So you're just kind of hoovering over the thing and making sure that it's that plan that he had in his mind. And so, you ask him a question. Sometimes the plans don't, you can't tell exactly on the blueprints what he had in mind. And you ask him, and he knows exactly. Because he drew it. He drew it. He knows exactly what's in his mind. What he had planned. And that's where the man has missed it in every age. Man has missed it in every age because man tries to figure it out. And it was the same intellectual problem that Eve had. It was the same problem man's had all the way through. And if we can't by now see the pattern, if we can't by now see where man went wrong, that man in every age got it wrong. So as soon as man starts coming with the revelation, then we should automatically know it's not going to be like that.
Yep, that's right.
So when they missed it 2,000 years ago, That was exactly the proof that they had studied the revelation. They had studied the law for thousands of years. And then they came down and said, this is what it will be. Every church had their idea. Every church nailed it down. And every one of them was wrong. And then we got a new and living way. We got another revelation. We got another message. We got a blood covenant. We got Calvary. We got all of that. And now man starts on it again. And man's went 2,000 years again, and got it all wrong.
Amen.
And the churches, God sent us a prophet, and the churches are still trying to hold on to that idea. The same idea they had for 2,000 years, that they got it all wrong. It's so ingrained into the people. It's so ingrained into their mind that when they read the message, they're interpreting it by the traditions and the ideas of the theologians for the last 2,000 years. When people explain to me the mysteries today, and it's saying exactly what they've been saying for 2,000 years, that's not a mystery. When they come with the mystery of the two witnesses, then it has to be a mystery.
Right.
It can't be what the churches have been saying is going to happen for 2,000 years.
Right.
When they talk about the rapture, it can't be the same thing they've been talking about for 2,000 years.
Right.
It's a mystery.
Amen.
And God's revealing that to the elect of the age.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He does in every day. In every age, He brings a new revelation. He adds a new part of the book. And He had that in His mind back there when that Logos came out of God. He had it right then, the full book, the whole Bible, all of it was right then.
Amen.
See? So, let's drop down a little bit. Now, we're going to start with Abraham. And these quotes that I have, I've tried to just get the basic, just to give you an idea here. And they're not the best quotes, but I had time. I went, because I've changed two or three times. Wednesday night, I just felt bad. I felt like it just didn't. I felt like it didn't go over, and I know part of it was just because I was reading, and so I took those quotes Wednesday night and I just completely stripped them down to just the meat, and I said I'm going to read them again and I'm going to talk about every one of them, and then I went from there after a day or two, and I said I came up with a title. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul said in his letters to the churches. You read the opening every time. He comes on that line of thought. And he identifies the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would give greetings. And from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he looks, this is the reason the Trinitarians have so much ammunition. They have so much that they feel so right because of the Scripture. They're basing it on the Scripture. They just don't have the revelation. And the revelation is, it's the same person, but this Son is the manifestation of the Father. The Father is a spirit and the Son was flesh and the Father was in the Son motivating Him. And the Son couldn't do anything except the Father showed Him. So, Paul had the revelation of the Father and the Son. He had that revelation. He knew that Jesus wasn't his own Father. He knew that Jesus had a Father. And that was the Spirit. That was the eternal Spirit. Genesis 22:15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee, and in multiplying I'll multiply thee, thy seed, as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, I want you to notice here, what's the first sentence? And the angel of the Lord.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. Right?
Yeah.
Now, that's on our list.
Yes, sir.
The angel of God, the angel of the Holy Ghost, the angel of the covenant. That's where Brother Branham identified who this was. He was there in Abraham's day. So let's read. In a message, this is 1958. Abraham was the represented the elected church, living poor, out on the deserts and so forth. But notice, just before the destruction of Sodom, There was an angel came to him. Is that right? And the angel was talking to Abraham and had his back turned to the tent. And Sarah was on the inside of the tent. And the angel told Abraham, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And Sarah, in her heart, laughed inside the tent. And the angel, with his back to the tent, said, why did Sarah laugh? What kind of telepathy was that? Remember, that angel had the last message. Not before the water fell, but before the fire fell. See? And who was that angel? And that's what we want to get. Mm-hmm. Who is this angel? Who is this Logos? Who is this person? And when that becomes common to us, I think a lot of times when you say the Logos, sometimes people, it becomes a deep, dark mystery. It becomes a deep word. Oh, we're talking about the Logos now. We just need to talk about it more. We need to identify it more.
Yes.
And here he's identifying it. He's identifying that this is who came to Abraham.
Amen.
Who was that angel? It was Christ. Abraham called him Elohim, Jehovah, Almighty, the Logos. Sure, he was God. So all of this is the same thing. And this is some of the ones I don't have up here. Is I don't have Elohim. I don't have Jehovah Almighty. But I have the Logos. Because that's what came out of God in the beginning, was the Logos. And that Logos is the angel of the covenant. That Logos is Jehovah. It is Elohim. It is God.
Amen.
It is the Word.
Yes, sir.
But not in part. It's the fullness of the Word. Sorry, I'm having a problem here. My computer's pausing, and I don't know why it's doing it. You know, I hit the button, and it pauses before it goes, and then I keep trying to make it go, and then it jumps. And so that's how I'm doing it with my finger, and same thing's happening. So, and here it is, just before the destruction of fire again. That same angel is amongst his people today. Now, I'm not spending much time on this thought. Because I think I'll take another service on it sometime. Because there's so much. But he identifies, as we're reading these, most every time, he's identifying it today. It's the same pillar of fire. It's the same Logos. It's the same Elohim. It's the same God. It's the same angel of the covenant. It's the same, everything that you see here, it's the same thing. It's the same Christ. It's the same anointing. See? And that same angel is amongst his people today, calling to you church members. Come out. Come out from among them. That's right. Get away from it quickly. She's going to sink, just as certain. See? Now, in the message El Shaddai, this is in 1960. Now, he turned them back to a young man and a young woman. See? And here's what he done. Now, if you notice, immediately after that angel appeared to them, see, now that's right after that angel appeared. Their transposition, they come back to young men and young women after that. Now when this angel of the Holy Spirit, you see that identification?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I was reading all those quotes on Wednesday. I should have stopped and took time and put stress on it and just highlighted it some. So, when this angel of the Holy Spirit, Sarah and Abraham become a young man and woman. And I can just see Sarah get up one morning and say, Abraham, dear, why the hump's getting out of your shoulders? Praise God. Now, Moses. That was Abraham. Okay, there's one. Here's Moses. Unveiling of God, 1964. And that's God. He changed himself. And Brother Branham, when he was talking about this, he was talking about Shakespeare. And he was talking about his daughter was in the play. And in the play, they didn't have very many actors. And so in Shakespeare day, and I think they did it to recreate a true likeness of the play. They could have probably in the school had somebody to play every part. But to make it more real for that day, they one actor might play three or four parts. And so they would be playing one part, and they'd step in, and they would change their coat and step back out and continue talking as a different person. And he's saying that's what God was doing. God, it was the same person all the time. He just changed his mask. He just changed his mask. And you're looking at the mask, and you're thinking, well, he sounds like the same person. He acts like the same person. He's doing the same thing. Amen. But the mask throws people off.
Yes, sir.
But for the bride, he gives a revelation of the nature and the characteristics of God.
That's right.
So that she, it don't matter what mask he puts on, she can see him. She can recognize him. She knows this is him.
Amen.
Praise be to God. See, he changed himself from a pillar of fire to become a man. And then changed himself from that back in the spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man, what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in man, in a man. In a man, that's what he was. He had changed from the pillar of fire and then had come in, which was a veil in the wilderness that hid God from Israel. And Moses seen the shape of his body. But really, he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went out from God.
Amen.
What was this pillar of fire? It was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning.
Amen.
Billions and billions of years before there was anything. There he was. It was the same one. He's the same one that met Abraham. He's the same one that met Moses on the backside of the desert. Nobody was around, and Moses was tending the sheep, and he seen a bush burning, and he said, I see the fire, but the bush is not burning. He said, it's just burning. I mean, this the fire is burning, but the bush is not burning. And so he had watched it. He's just either sitting there or whatever he was doing, maybe sitting on the ground with his back against the rock, whatever he was doing. He's watching this. And he's wondering, what's happening? And so he said, I'm just going to have to go over there and see what it is.
Amen.
And when he got there, a voice spoke to him. This pillar of fire, it was God.
Yes, sir.
That pillar of fire to Abraham, it was God.
Amen.
That veil of flesh that came to Abraham, that was God.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. He was the same pillar of fire, the same little God, just he was in a human body. The same one.
Amen.
God acting in man what he really was. See? I think we read that. Let's drop down. Moses, the last sentence. Moses seen the shape of his body, but really, he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went out from God. That's what it was. So, you already know that this Logos, this pillar of fire, anytime you see it, Brother Adam said, that's the reason why Paul called him Lord.
Yes.
When he was on his way to Damascus and he was knocked off his horse and this light shined over him and he hears the voice and not everybody seen it, not everybody heard it. Some, I think, saw it, some, I think, heard it. And then, but for him, he got the full experience. And then he knowed that that pillar of fire was the pillar of fire that represented God. That led the children of Israel. And so when he seen that, it created fear, it created respect. And when he began to talk to him, he said, who are you? Who are you? I'm sorry. He said, who are you, Lord? He knew it was God, but he didn't know what his name was. Because he was asked the question, why persecutest thou me? How am I doing it, Lord? Who are you? What was that pillar of fire? It was the first bodily form of God. That's what it was.
Amen.
And it came out of God. It was the creation of God. That light. God spoke it and there it was. And what was in that light? It was God.
Amen.
God was in that light. And in Him, in God, was the fullness of everything. The fullness of the Word, the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of everything. And there He was, playing as a child before the door of eternity, before the Father. God, in the form of man, He changed Himself from the form of God to a form of man. He changed Himself. Now, this... I'm skipping these next two paragraphs, but I left it in there so you can read it later, because it's a type of the millennium. He's using a type of the millennium, and so it's really good. So, but I want you to come to paragraph 36 with me, in Water of the Rock. Christ, the bread of life, come down from heaven, humiliating Himself, giving His life, that through His life you might have journeying mercy. Huh? We're pilgrims and strangers. We're on a journey. Where did that come from? Out of that pillar of fire. See? That's where it dropped out of. He was up there. That was Christ Himself, the Logos, the angel of the covenant. Who was that in Moses? Who was that in Moses' day? That was the angel of the covenant. That was Christ Himself. That was the anointing. What was that pillar of fire? What was that Logos that came out of Him? It was the anointing.
Amen.
It was the presence of God. That's what it was. That's what it was in Abraham's day. That's what it was that met Moses. Where did that come from? Out of that pillar of fire. That's where it dropped out of. He was up there. That was Christ Himself, the Logos, the angel of the covenant. See? That's that Moses forsook Egypt, not knowing where he was going, but he was on his road, and the children of Israel followed it. That was God promised that the angel would lead. That's right. Now, I put the children of Israel separate because Moses met him first.
Amen.
On the backside of the desert, and then the children of Israel met him later. But it was the same person.
Yes.
It was the same pillar of fire. It was the same Logos. This is in marriage and divorce. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ never did identify Himself as the Son of God. He said, "You said I was, to this end I was born," and so forth. But He never identified Himself, see? And now, that was the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. See? That was the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form.
Amen.
Is that right? That's what, remember Brother Branham talking about Melchizedek? And he asked the people, he said, "Can you go that? Can you believe that? Can you agree that was him? But yet he wasn't born yet?"
Amen.
That was Jesus Christ in a theophany who later would become flesh.
Yes, sir.
That's who that Melchizedek was. See, 26. And now that was the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Was the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form. Do you believe that? The Logos that went out of God. See? I want this to just become common. That's what I want. I want it to become common to you. That this pillar of fire, this Logos, this Word, the halo, the presence of God, is, it's just God. It's just God expressing Himself. And He changes His mask. He changes the veil. He just keeps changing it. And now, I'm sorry, dropping down. See, that was the Logos that went out of God. And then when He was on earth, He said, "I come from God and I go to God." We all know that. When He was on earth, He said, "I come from God and I go to God." How? Huh? He came from spirit and He goes back to the spirit.
Amen.
Remember when we read the other day, God's not one like your finger? Brother Branham said there was two people talking. He said there was the Father, and then there was the man. And he said, sometimes it was the man talking,
yes.
Jesus. And he said, sometimes it was the Father talking, the Spirit. And the Son confessed, the man. He confessed, he said, I don't know when he's coming. Not even the angels know. He said, I don't know. I don't do anything until he shows me. And when he shows me, that's what I do. That's what the man had to say.
Yes.
Remember, this man was a creation of God.
Yep.
And this creation came forth to die, to pay the price. So God had to have a body because he couldn't send anybody else to do this. Brother Branham made it clear. He said, I couldn't die for you. You couldn't die for me. He said, it doesn't work like that.
Amen.
He said he had to come himself.
Yes.
He had to pay the price.
Amen.
John the Baptist. Now we're coming up. We had Adam. We had Abraham. We had Moses. We had the children of Israel. All of them seen that Logos. All of them came face to face and experienced, met him, lived in the presence of him. John the Baptist, Influence, 1963. And John the Baptist, Paul, different ones, when they saw that glory of God and that light, they bowed to it. Yes, they honored it, see? They respected it because that they humbled themselves. So I didn't have time to go find a good quote. I'm sure there's plenty of good quotes about John and the light and you know, the Spirit coming upon him. And we already read some. But I just put this in here because it's identifying that light that came. That light that came, we already read that's where Jesus received the Holy Ghost. That's where the man received the Spirit of God. And so there he was in the presence of the Logos. Then I'm going to skip this here, 123, but he's talking about those seraphims giving us example. Brother Goom has talked about this a few times, how that one of the prophets there, he wasn't worthy, he wasn't holy, he didn't feel like he could speak. God wanted him to go, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God showed him that right way to worship, that right way. He showed him. And that's what he's talking about there in those quotes, talking about seeing those cherubims, how they covered themselves, and how they were just worshiping God continually. And so here, on the day of Pentecost, questions and answers, paragraph 105. And now, what was that other question? Let's see. One of them was I the Son of Man? See, here it is, I believe, the Son of Man, or was the pillar of fire the Son of Man? Listen. No, the pillar of fire is the anointing. Huh? That's right over here, isn't it?
Amen.
It's the anointing or the anointed. Now, this may go a little deep, unless it's some of you theologians, Brother Vail, Brother here, some of these ministers from Arkansas, and my good friends around, you'd probably know. Now, that pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God, see, which was actually the attribute of the fullness of God. Well, he already told us that, didn't he? That it was the fullness of the Word. It was the fullness of the Bible. It was the fullness. Now, he's telling us it's the fullness of the expression of God. See, now that pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. The Logos, which actually the attribute of, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. And when God became into a form where he could be seen, see, it was the anointing of the great spirit that went forth. It's condescending, see? Coming down, God, the Father, the Logos, see? That was up over Israel. He was holy and could not bear sin, see? There had to be a blood offering right in Eden. And then that Logos become flesh and dwelt among us. Where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice. Now, every time, and if you go back and read what we read on Wednesday night, you're going to see all these descriptions. And so, and that was my purpose on Wednesday, was to let you see how he identified it over and over and over again. He's identifying. He's identifying the presence of God. He's identifying what this Logos is. He's identifying. And so that's what we want to know. We don't want it to be some mystery that we don't understand. No, it's in simplicity when we see it, when we get it. Paragraph 108. When man was made in the image of God, and then God came down in the image of man to redeem man, that brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged, kissed each other, and God and man embraced each other, see, as fatherhood and sonship. When the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
When the Logos became flesh.
Yes, sir.
See, Jesus said, I come from God and I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, when the body was taken up to sit at the right hand of God. Now that don't mean God's got a right hand. God's a spirit. Huh? But at the right hand means in power and authority of God. That's right. That in that name, everything in heaven is named after it, see? And subject to it. Everything in earth is named after it and subject to it. A name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God. What was it? The Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed with this same Logos.
Amen.
What are you anointed with? The same Logos.
Yes,
is here today. It's in you. It's living in you. It's the same God.
Amen.
That came out of God. The same Logos that came out of God is here in you right now. Now on the day of Pentecost, it came down, that pillar of fire, and broke apart. See? What came down on the day of Pentecost? The pillar of fire. What's the pillar of fire? It's the Logos.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's the Logos. You see it coming all the way through. The same Logos. Same pillar of fire, the same God, the same everything, the same anointing. See? It broke apart and tongues of fire set upon each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set upon each of them. See? An elected, selected group. Identified by this pillar of fire. You're identified by the Logos. You're identified by it. See? It's showing the life of Christ. You might not never see the pillar of fire.
Amen.
But that Logos is living in you.
Yes.
It's living in you. Showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into men. God, not in one person. He's in his church universal.
Amen.
That's where he's at. That's where the Logos is now. That's the reason. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you also see. Now I know the King James says greater. And let me just drop down here. Let's get Paul and Peter here. We got them on the day of Pentecost. That's what he's talking about. There it appeared. That same pillar of fire appeared. Now let's get Paul and Peter. They're in the same quote, so we put them together. Now after his death, burial, and resurrection, if you'll excuse me 1 minute, I think I'd just like to have a drink. Saul of Tarsus was on his road to Damascus. to persecute the Christians because they were teaching things contrary to what had been taught. And he was a great warrior under Gamaliel and one of the outstanding teachers of the day. See, and in their school, their monastery, and a great man and an officer of the church. And it was there that a great light, the pillar of fire again, struck him down in the middle of the day. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And if you notice, when Saul, raised up, he said, "Lord, who are you?" Now that boy, being a Jew, he certainly wouldn't have called anything unless it had been something to symbol God. Amen. He wouldn't have called it Lord, so it was the same pillar of fire. And as Jesus said, "I go to God, I come from God, I return to God." See, and there he was, back in the form of the pillar of fire again. He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Huh? Who was it? I don't know. I know I put Christ up here, but I should have put Jesus Christ because he says it a number of times. And so he came from the flesh back to the spirit. And now he's appearing to Paul. And what's his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the pillar of fire.
Yes, sir.
The Logos.
Yep.
There he was, back in the form of the pillar of fire. He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the bricks." And we realize that when the Apostle Peter, to who the keys was given to build the church, we find out that he was in prison. And this same pillar of fire came through the bars. See? Opened the doors of the prison. And took Peter out mysteriously without even disturbing the guard. See? To me, it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes,
praise be to God. Amen. This scripture, Hebrews 13:8, I'm telling you, that scripture has become more real to me in the last year. And, you know, it was just a common, Brother Branham's probably said it more, used that scripture more than any other scripture. But it's become more real.
Amen.
in what it really means. He's the same in every way. He hasn't changed nothing. He hasn't changed. No. His nature is to do the same thing that he did in every age.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's doing. And one of those things is that he would add a new part to this revelation in every age. That's what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said he adds a new part in every age, invisible union. Every generation, a new part.
Right.
You go back to your whole Bible and show me if in any age when God raised up a messenger, a prophet, show me if any prophet ever repeated the message of a previous prophet. Brother Branham said, "No, never."
Right.
Said that it wouldn't even make sense.
Okay.
He said, when God raises up a sign, when God gives a gift, he said, it's because something new is coming. Something new's coming.
Yep. Right.
Paragraph 33. "And then you'll always know anything by the nature of it." There it is. Anything is known by its nature, the fruit it bears. And I ask you to watch the kind of fruit it bears. This light, which is God. You look right here. You watch this Logos that came out of God, Christ, the anointing, the Holy Ghost, the Word, this spiritual being, this supernatural being. Watch the nature of it. Watch the nature of it. It will be the same nature every time. It was not going to be anything different. That's how you're going to know it. That's how you're going to recognize the presence of God. Because whatever form he comes in, you're going to recognize it by the nature. Huh?
That's right.
That's how you recognize it in me. I recognize it in you. It's because it's the same nature. It's the same God. He's just changing his mask. And that was his purpose, to get from that one mask to many. And that's where we are today. It is a many, many membered body. His masks are many. But the nature is the same in every one of them. It's the same. So that means the Word is the same in every one of them. That means the Spirit's the same in every one of them.
Amen.
The light, the same in every one of them. You'll always know it. Anything is known by its nature, the fruit that it bears. And I ask you, the kind of fruit it bears. This light, which is God, because it always goes back to the Word of God and proves the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, and God proves that Word materially so before you. There's got to be something. See, there's got to be something behind it. And we know that there is. We know. That's the reason why you couldn't walk away from this revelation. You see people do it, you can't. You see them question this, question that. They don't understand this, they don't understand that. But yet, something in you has made it real to you. And even though you may still have some questions, you know that it's the truth. You know the voice. God gives you the ability. I was thinking, I shared a quote with Brother Goomba this morning. I knew he had been preaching on the two witnesses, and I ran across the quote where Brother Branham said, you know, we had read many times where Brother Branham said, you can't, two prophets, God never sends two prophets at the same time. But in this quote, he said, he could never send a Moses and an Elijah at the same time. And I don't know, I'm sure I read it back there somewhere, but it's been a long time. And so, you know, he's used other prophets, said, you know, he couldn't have this one and this one. But here was Moses and Elijah. And so I sent it to Brother Goomba early this morning, and he replied back. And I told him I was thinking about him. And so I also was thinking that when he was in Kenya, something that the Lord showed him when he was studying in Revelations, he was talking about that John was told to take a rod and measure the temple. And he said, you know, there was no temple. There was no temple there. That it was a symbol of something. And so I asked Brother Goomba, and because between the two of us, we've been very strict on this one thing. And that's being able to have a quote to prove what you're saying. And I said, Brother Goomba, I said, do you have a quote for that? And he said, no. And I said, that's right. And I said, we won't always have a quote. I said, because Brother Branham said that the bride will read between the lines. And that's exactly what that is. That's exactly what Brother Goomba, God showing him what that meant. That's exactly what that was. That's reading between the lines. We're not going to have a quote for everything. But at the same time, we're not going to surmise things. That's such a razor edge. I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to, because there's things that you need a quote for. Yeah, I don't know. I'm walking on a shaky ground here, just saying it. But I know that we're depending on the Word, and we're depending on the quotes. We're depending on the revelation.
Amen.
And so, but not everything is written. Just like Brother Branham said, the Godhead is a revelation. Baptism was plain and simple there, and that's how it is. Some things are just plain and simple there. Some things you got to really dig. But they're in there. And other things is you put things together. Okay, he said this over here. This represents this. This represents this. This represents this. When I see that, when I see it again, when I see it somewhere, then when God reveals a symbol to you, like in Revelations, he said those seven stars were seven messengers. They were the angels. And so you watch those symbols, and they carry through. And so you find a lot of things like that. And so what it does is it allows you, if you, just like I was talking about a set of blueprints, on a blueprints, most of the architects use the same symbols, but some don't. Some have a little bit different symbol. So when you're looking on the print and you'll see a certain thing, if you have to go to the key, and the key is a symbol. So there's a symbol on the print, and you have to go to the key to know what that symbol is. So if there's a switch on the wall, there's a symbol there that says it's a switch. If there's an outlet there, there's a symbol that says an outlet. And if it's something different, if it's a plumbing thing or an HVAC thing, whatever it is, you have to go to the key to know what that symbol means. And so that's what God has been revealing and revealing and revealing. And so we thank God. We thank God for that. And so we appreciate you so much today. And I hope that this was a little better than Wednesday, because I just felt like it was it didn't get over. And so I'll certainly try to do better. So now, as we close, I want to talk to you for just a couple minutes after we close. So, but let us stand together, and we'll bow our heads and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, Lord, to know that that same Logos, the same presence of God, that same anointing, that same word is right here, Lord. It's in your bride. It's with us where we go. And Lord, let that just be real to our hearts. Let it, Lord, be not something that we wonder about. Let it be something we know, that we're sure of. Lord, just give us revelation, Lord. Help us to understand these things. And we know it all comes from you. And we thank you and praise you. Bless our brother and sister, Lord. And then those that are not able to come, Sister Evelyn, the different ones, Lord. You know every heart, every need. Sister Edith, Lord, bless her and strengthen her. And Lord, we commit all to you now. Those that would listen in, give them revelation. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide in all truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.